best of all ways. Let us love one another.
We'd like you to sing this with us if you can.
I lift you high, I lift you high, and praise my King. I worship your name, I'm spreading your fame. Your song I sing, I will seek you in the morning.
I will bless you every day. I will sing your wondrous story, all the wonders of your way.
scripture comes from Hebrews 13th chapter. Let brotherly love continue.
You may be disappointed that I'm not going to be preaching from 20th chapter of the book of Exodus, but rather from Hebrews chapter 13. There are at least two great 13th chapters in the Bible. There's the so-called love chapter, which is 1 Corinthians 13. And then there's this chapter, which is not as well known, not as beautifully written, perhaps some would say. But yet it contains some commandments here that I believe are especially appropriate to the home. And so I'd like to share with you this morning, or begin to share with you, 10 commandments for the home. Now, I know it doesn't really say in the Bible that these are 10 commandments for the home, but I'm suggesting them. I believe that every commandment that I'm going to suggest is a scriptural commandment. I believe that these are the laws that God has laid down for His families, for homes. Now, when I say home, I don't necessarily mean a house. You don't have to have a house to have a home. All you need is a family, and that could be as few as two. And I know some of you, you're a single person, or you don't have a family. But nevertheless, you have a home. You have a place where you live. You have a place that can be a place of hospitality, a place where you can greet people, where you can witness through that home. So I don't want you to tune me out. I know there may be some things here that you might think don't apply to you, but I believe everything that applies to the home also applies to us as individuals. And so I want to share with you this morning 10 commandments for the home. I want to share with you the first commandment. Now, there are some famous sayings about home. I'm sure you've heard many others. Here are some that I found. Home is the place where they have to take you in when you go there. I left out a little phrase there, but that was a statement by Robert Frost, famous poet. Home is where the heart is. I'm sure we've all heard that. Apparently, Pliny the Elder whom I didn't know, but I since have come to know, apparently wrote that. And then there's a play, There's No Place Like Home, Dorothy on The Wizard of Oz. So these are just some examples of statements, idyllic expressions of the home. But what quality of the home, of the Christian home, sets it apart from all others? Well, I believe our chapter tells us here. The first thing that it mentions here in chapter 13 of Hebrews is, and I'm reading this from the New International Version. It says, keep on loving each other as brothers. Keep on loving each other as brothers. Now that's a little wordy. The King James Version just simply says, let brotherly love continue. And the Greek is even more concise. It only has actually two main words, and then it has an article. It means brotherly love, let continue. Brotherly love being one word, let continue being the other word. The is also there, the definite article. So keep that in mind as we consider this very short verse. Brother Curtis mentioned the other short, even shorter verse in the Bible, which is Jesus wept. Well, here's a very short verse for you that really says a lot to us about the home. What is most important? Well, obviously love. And I want us to think, first of all, about the content of love. The content of love. What is that? What does that word love mean? Now, you look at most homes today, and sadly, there's not much love found in homes. Now, I know there is love found in homes. Thank God for it. And there's love that is very inspiring in many homes, even homes that are not Christian homes, because God has given us that instinct to love our family. You know how easily that instinct can be corrupted, how hatred can be found in many homes, division, strife. There are brothers that won't talk to brothers, sisters that won't talk to sisters, sons and daughters that won't have anything to do with their parents, and parents that have disowned their children. You find this all too often today. So how can we learn about this word love? Well, unfortunately, our English word love has little meaning today. We say, for example, we love our children. But in the next breath, we say we love apple pie or whatever else might be our favorite food. So, love is greatly weakened in meaning. Well, what did that word mean that was originally found there in that verse of chapter 1 or verse 1 of chapter 13? Well, we can learn from its definition. Its definition. The word is the word we get our word Philadelphia from. Now, don't think of the city necessarily when you think of brotherly love. It's called the city of brotherly love. Of course, our Philadelphia is not the only Philadelphia in the world. But that's the verb form of that word that is translated there, brotherly love. That's actually what it means, love of the brother. I think of Psalm 133 in verse 1 where it says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. God's to love one. Wasn't that the command that Jesus gave to his disciples when he said a new command, as if that was the 11th of the Ten Commandments? Love one another, he said. Some of the other disciples apparently forgot it, but John didn't forget it because he wrote a lot about love one another, he said, many times. So a home where there is not love is not a home that God is going to bless. How do we get that love? Well, obviously, it doesn't come from ourselves. I can only think of Jesus when he was going to the cross. It says, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them to the end. Now let me ask you, do you have someone in your family that you have difficulty loving? Or maybe in an extended family. You know, the church is really an extended family. And maybe do we have, we wouldn't want to admit it, but do we have hatred in our hearts? One of the saddest things is to see a family divided by an inheritance. And it seems like this is all too common today, where you find that at funerals, families feud and ready to go to blows and because they're not receiving their deserved portion of the inheritance. Haven't we lost our mind? Haven't we lost our heart when we have hatred toward our own loved ones? So, brotherly love. Let brotherly love continue, the Bible says. And that command, that is really a command. That's the volition content in that content of love. Love is an act of the will, not primarily an emotion. Now you say, well, I don't feel love. Well, a lot of times we don't feel love. A lot of times we may feel, nothing, we feel hatred or anger. But if we decide that we are going to love like Jesus loved, I'm not sure, Jesus was a man like we are, a person like we are, human being, that is. I think it must have been a challenge to him sometimes to love Peter, or to love all of the different disciples. But even Judas, the Bible says that Jesus reached out to, even when Judas was betraying him. Jesus said, "Friend, why are you come?" See, he still regarded him as a friend because there was that will to love in our Savior. So we must will to love if love is to continue. And then we can learn from its recognition. It was said of the early Christians that they were known by their love for one another. And are we known by our love for one another? I know you love that little baby that comes into your home. But at some point, that little baby becomes a difficult person. That little baby grows up to be a person with a mind of their own and a will of their own. And that, you know, that time of life called teenage kids. But then even later in life, there are always these challenges. Or that brother or that sister, the mother or father. Again, it gets back to the volition. And people will recognize when we have love in our home. Let's make it a matter of prayer. Let's make it a matter of concerted will to love one another. There's also here a command, the command of love. Love is a command. It's not optional. It says, let brotherly love continue there, like, it's just kind of natural. But really, it's in the form of a command. This translation really translates it that way. It says, keep on loving each other as brothers. And the Bible says in other places that we are to love one another. For example, in Romans 12:10, it says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. And 1 Peter 1:22 says, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. And John writes in 1 John 3:11, he says that we should love one another. One of the many times that phrase is found in his epistles. I want us to think about the model of that command. The model is Jesus, isn't it? Because he said, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, he said, that ye should also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Many times I've thought of that. When I've had an unloving thought, you know, it hits me once a month or so. Actually, almost every day. Well, every day, I would say. I don't always think of it, but I'm sure those unloving thoughts come. You know, when I've stopped at 4th and Main here, waiting for the traffic to go by, or waiting behind somebody that's waiting. These terrible traffic jams we have here in Alturas. But that's the test, isn't it? And that there are more severe tests than that in the home. I really think that the home is the proving ground for love. Because if we cannot love those that we know, how are we going to love others? Someone said, to live up above with the saints we love, that will be glory. But to live here below with the saints we know, well, that's another story. But that's why we need this command. And we have the model of Jesus. We have a motive here also, because the Bible says we love Him because He first loved us. And that actually means we love. Him is a supplied word there in the King James Version. But really what that's saying is our love comes because He first loved us. Have you thought about His love? Have you thought about what you've been forgiven? Have you thought about the parable that Jesus told of the man who owed a great debt that no one could possibly pay, but he went and begged for mercy to the one that his master that he owed this great debt to, and his master forgave him the whole debt. But he went out, this man did, that was forgiven, and he grabbed a man by the throat and he said, pay me what you owe me. He only owed him a dollar or two. See, he had forgotten the lesson of that great debt that had been forgiven, that love that had been shown to him. And there's a motto in that command. Jesus said, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. If you read the Gospel of John especially and the Epistles of John, you know that it's full of that phrase, love one another. At least one of his disciples learned that lesson. And we need to learn that lesson of love. So there is a content of love. There is a command of love. But there's also a continuance of love here, because it says, let brotherly love continue. Let it continue. And I want us just to think a little bit about what that means, to continue. Because every home may begin with love. I think every home does. Now, it may be the wrong kind of love, but at least there is a basis of love there in that home. But often, as you know, that love turns to hatred and strife. What is the cure? Well, the scripture says in Song of Solomon 8 and verse 7, many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, it would be utterly contemned. You see, that's not true love if it failed. Again, think of Jesus. Having loved his own, the Bible says, which were in the world, he loved them to the end. God wants this love to continue. And you know, it's easy to love someone who's lovable. But let that person become spiteful or do something that we don't like, why, you know, that's where the test of love comes, isn't it? And that's why the Bible says to continue. Let brotherly love continue. Think about its priority. This is the first commandment that's given in this chapter, a long list of commandments, 10 that we'll look at. But this is the first. I believe because God wanted us to know that this is the most important thing. The Bible says love shall cover the multitude of sins. And I think that means that love overlooks the faults of others. A few of us have very little or few faults, isn't that right? Where you are sitting. But that other person is just full of faults. And we can see them, you know, just bright, clear as day. And it seems like the closer you are together, the more you see those faults. And partly that's why God put us together in families. The Bible says iron sharpens iron. And we need somebody to show us when we have a hideous tie on, or you know, we're not acting like we should, because we need the correction of one another. But sometimes this can lead to strife, and that's why the Bible says to let brotherly love continue. It's to be a priority in our lives. There's a personality in that as well, because it implies that there must be a brother or a sister to love. Charlie Brown said, "I love the whole world, but it's people I can't stand." You know, we can love in the abstract. You know, I love the world. I wish the whole world would come to Christ and be saved. But what about that neighbor that you don't like because they've done something that teed you off? Teed, not the other word. That's where the test comes. If we're not loving that neighbor, how can we love that person that we don't even know? And getting even closer to home, do we love one another like Jesus instructed in our homes? And you know, I think that means that we respect one another. That we who have children, that we listen to them, that we spend time with them. You know, it's not just tolerating them. You know, letting them have their own room and kind of, you know, the noise, keeping the noise there. You know, trying to get in to their lives and participating with them, encouraging them. And some of you are great models at that, of doing that. But we need to do that even more, because loving involves persons. And then there's a perpetuity in that continuance of love. I don't think it means let brotherly love continue until you reach that breaking point, you know, which we all have. Well, you know, he crossed the line, and he, you know, now I can't forgive that. You know, that imaginary line that we all draw in the sand. You know, as long as you don't cross that line, you're all right. No, we're to let that brotherly love continue. I believe on into eternity. Didn't Jesus say, you remember Peter coming to him and he said, "Master, how many times?" I don't know who he's thinking about when he said this. Maybe Andrew. I don't know. That was his brother. But he said, "How many times does my brother have to sin against me and I forgive him?" 7 times? Well, that seemed like a lot. Yeah, but Jesus said, not 7 times, but 70 times 7. In other words, don't put a limit on it. That's perpetuity of love. Would you make it a matter of prayer to be a loving house? In your little bookmark there, if you have it, it says to make a house a home. Now, your house may not be much of a house, or you may not have a house. You may live in an apartment or trailer, as we do. But it still can be a home if you'll, first of all, and most important of all, be a loving house. That house can be a home if love will be primary.